You remember when they were building the brick building?
Oh, yeah. Watkins was the one that owned that to start with, that built it. Yeah. I remember they built that. And right there where that building is now, on the corner there of part of the building, but that building wasn't there then. There was a harness shop there. And there's where Albert Meinecke, you heard of Meinecke?
Oh, yeah.
This is where he learned the harness business trade right there. He could build harness himself. Rollick was the one that owned it, and Mrs. Rollick still lives in Sherwood, but her name isn't Rollick anymore, it's Graham, isn't it, Gerda?
Yeah.
Graham, she still lives. She must be close to 100. And she was Rollick's wife. And Rollick, he started out, he had that building built.
Yeah.
Rollick did. Watkins built it.
Now, this is where the real estate office is?
Huh?
Is that where the real estate office is? Is this the one they made?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah? Seems to me like that cost $12,000 when they built that. I
remember. Yeah. Nice brick. Was that Sherwood brick?
No, I think it's Wilhelmina, but I wouldn't say for sure. I don't know for sure, but I think it's Wilhelmina. I'm pretty sure, though. And, well, from Sailors down there, then you come up the block there, right on the corner, there's where that, it was a saloon there and a cigar store, a cigar shop up above. And the first...
That's where Drummond is now.
Where Drummond is now. And right next to Drummond, there was a little garage there made out of galvanized stuff like most of my buildings are. And there's where they had the first electric lights. And they had a dynamo, or what do we call them, dynamos, I guess.
Yeah.
And they had a gas engine to run it.
Generator.
A generator is what they'd call it. And that's when the first electric lights in Sherwood was. And those lights, when it come 9 o'clock at night, they'd go out.
Oh.
They'd blink a couple or three times, and then you knew you had to be prepared for it, and they'd go out.
Uh-huh.
Because that's as long as they'd run. Us kids just go up there and watch that thing run. We thought that was something.
Yeah.
Gasoline engine
machine, running,
man.
Yeah.
And gosh, that's a long time ago. Old Epler was the guy that I think had that. And then the old Moorback house, that's where the city hall is now,
yeah,
isn't it? Yeah. There they had a big water tank there, way up in the air it stood.
Yep.
They pumped the water up to it.
There was a story about the bartender, one of the taverns, who took a bet. He was really a rather fat guy, I guess, and he took a bet to, and somebody bet him that he could climb it. He had an Oriental sounding name. I hope he wasn't Oriental, but they took him up. He went up there, but he got up there and he lost his nerve, you know. So his friends that dared to go up in first place, they went and tied a rope around his waist and threw him over the edge.
Let him down.
Yeah, they let him down, and everybody came out to hear him. He was hollering.
I never did hear that.
That might have been that was back in the 1890s, you know.
Uh-huh.
I suppose. I just wondered if it was the same water tank.
Yeah, that was the same one, as far as I know. I know when they first put it up and when they took it down.
Woeeda. Woeeda, something like that.
Never heard that name.
There were more than one tavern all the time, wasn't there?
Saloons, they called
them.
Yeah, I think one time they had five there, if I remember.
Yeah, it could have been.
There was four, I can remember four of them being there once. Yeah. And,
remember what it was like in those things during the...
Those saloons?
Yeah, the Prohibition or any other time? I was wondering what they did during the Prohibition.
They had no more saloons during Prohibition.
They closed them up?
Oh, yeah, in Portland, too, every place.
I thought maybe they'd have near beer or something like that.
Well, yeah, they did have near beers. One or two had near beer in Sherwood. That was over there where the pool hall is now. Who runs that tavern there? I don't know.
Colback, is that right?
I never do go in there.
Cofeld.
It's Cofeld building. Yeah, I remember when they built that building.
Yeah.
The fire cleaned that block Panero
out
on the
4th
of July.
Oh.
On the 4th of July it was. The night before the 4th of July. And the next day they, because they were celebrating in Sherwood, you know, celebrating the 4th, they got some planks and boards together and by golly, they sold beer like mad there. And there was another doctor in Sherwood by the name of Dr. Rickard. He was a good old doctor. He was an old Navy doctor. And he was awful slow getting to you if you wanted him to come to your house. They always go to the house.
Yeah.
Every day, you know?
Yeah.
But when he got there, he knew what he was doing. And he never gave you any medicine unless he tasted it first himself.
Right.
Yeah. And he'd use a lot of powders, I know, and he'd have newspapers and he'd put it in a little piece of newspaper and wrap it all up, a little capsule like it. Wrap it up in paper. Yeah?
Then you're
his name was Rickard. Rickard. R-I-C-K-A-R-D. Then later years, in 1922, I think it was, Dr. Rucker. You heard of him probably?
I think so.
Yeah, he came to Sherwood.
Well, they had Becker, too,
didn't they? Yeah, well, they had Becker, yeah. And they had Littlefield, not Littlefield, but Parkroft for a while.
Aldridge?
Yeah, Dr. Aldridge. He was a retired doctor from...
They all came through different times.
Huh?
Different times.
Yeah, but Aldridge didn't care much about practicing. He was retired. He was from New York City.
Oh.
Boy, he was a good doctor.
Oh.
One of the best.
Yeah.
Yeah, he saved quite a few people's lives around. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't suppose, what time are we talking about now? Is this about 20s or something like that?
Well, we are on this here, Dr. Rucker, he come in the 20s now.
Yeah.
To share with.
Tell him where Rickard had his office.
Where would he have had his office then?
You mean this...
Where was the doctor's office?
This Dr. Rickard, this old Navy doctor?
Yeah.
Well, he had it, I don't know what they do in that place now.
Nothing, it's in that place where, was that Half Price Country Store?
Oh.
Right across from
Funeral
Farm.
That building that old?
Well, that's where Walt Bowen used to have it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could go up there at 12 o'clock at night or 1 o'clock in the morning and he'd always be sitting there in a chair asleep. He never would have been.
Is that right?
He was an old bachelor.
Yeah? Uh-huh. He just read himself to sleep or something, or?
Maybe he slept in the chair, I don't know, but a lot of times we'd have to go get the doctor at night for...
Fully clothed. He never takes his clothes off. He just sits there with his suit on, huh?
Yeah.
Well, that would be the way to do it.
Yeah.
I suppose you were expecting people to call you any old time.
And, they had a butcher shop right there on the corner where Art Krebs at. Does he still live there?
He lives in the double-story house.
Just a little bit off of the corner, don't he?
Where that beer tent
was. Well, right on the corner there was a butcher shop there when I was a kid. The old Pete Meeks run that butcher shop. And then later years, people lived in that house there for a while too, by the name of Fletcher. And then Herman Wagner came there. And he was a baker. He had a baker shop in there. He was a German.
Mm-hmm.
And he was quite a guy. Didn't he get killed on the highway or something? He got hurt anyhow.
He was married to Rose.
Rose Fricker.
Yeah, I remember her.
Yeah, he was quite a guy, this guy. He's a good baker, all right, but he drinks.
I think people are pretty open-minded about that sort of thing.
Yeah, but...
You know, but...
Everybody knew it.
Yeah. Well, there used to be a fellow who used to walk around with a wooden leg. Remember, you get him?
Yeah, I didn't know that man very well. He lived right there close where Chris lives, back up to his there. I didn't know that man. That was in later years.
Yeah, because
I used to be in Sherwood Lodge, when I was a younger man. Since me and Gert have been married, I never went to Sherwood very much, did I?
I wouldn't let you.
Oh, yeah.
Still a wild town.
They did kidnap me, huh?
No, that wasn't it.
No, I didn't run around too much anymore. But before that, I knew what was going on.
Yeah. Now, did they have parades? Back with those 4th of July celebrations where there were parades?
Yeah. Well, not so much 4th of July as they did Robin Hood. They always had
it. They had a Robin Hood festival back then?
No, not that far.
Not that far.
No, no. But they'd have their 4th of July down there where the ballpark was, where I told you the ballpark was.
Yeah, where the cannery is now. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. Just part of the cannery is there. Now, I guess all the trees are gone from there now.
Well, they got that manufacturing plant there.
Back there now, yeah. I don't know.
Ford at?
I don't know.
Nobody seems to know.
No, well, that's where the ballpark was.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I guess Ford at is, if that's, you know, they're the ones that are sort of behind the cannery and they're rolling, you know. We're hoping that they're going to get involved in this storefront remodeling. I guess the guy that runs that wants to get involved with it. But that's, we're kind of looking forward to getting more of those buildings, getting that old English style on, you know.
One thing they had in Sherwood, in them days, they had an awful good barber. A fellow by the name of Frank Lucas and Pearl White, they were a partnership. Boy, they were two of the best barbers they ever was around the country. Yeah, and they were there for a good many years.
I wonder what building that was.
That was, I don't know what they would call that building. I guess it was right next to the Wickert building there. You know where the Wickert building was, Gerda? Where, I don't know what's in there now.
Oh, well.
I think the Masonic Hall has part of it now, yeah.
Yeah.
Right in there. It's where the barbershop was. Right there. Yeah.
And then, let's see, somebody was talking about they used to bring movies around. What, was there a Chautauqua or anything like that that used to come around? You said something about medicine shows or something.
I did?
No, I guess not. It was,
I never
did. Did they have any show, traveling show or anything like
that? Well, yeah, they used to be that. Guy that was peddling soap, he put on a show. That's a long time ago. That was long before the war, I think. Before the World War One. I mean, I don't know what you call it. His show. HISS show. And then he'd advertise medicine, you know, and he'd sell quite a bit of it. He's quite a talker.
The patent medicine?
Yeah.
Good care anything?
Yeah.
What did he do for a show? Did he have people that
some
danced or something?
Yeah,
or,
jig,
yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah.
Stuff like that. And sing.
Oh, yeah.
And things that way. Yeah.
At the dance hall, what kind of music did they use?
Well, I used to hire the music to pick out the lyrics.
What kind of, did they play what?
Well, they played up-to-date tunes, you know. In those days, what they was, you know. Well, they had a local orchestra in Sherwood there. I know all the guys that were in it. There's only one living that I know of around.
There's a Woody Hype band.
No, that had nothing to do with them. They were too young in them days.
Yeah,
Woody Hype's got a pretty good band, I guess. But you only can have a band for a while and it runs out.
Oh, yeah.
You've got to get another one. And then we'd go to Portland and get them out, see?
Oh.
That's what we did. And we'd have them maybe for a couple of months, 3 months maybe, then we get a different one.
Mm-hmm.
People would get tired of the same one, you see? Yeah. Yeah, they used to take in quite a bit of money there every Saturday night. Didn't have as high as 145, 150 couples there every Saturday. That's quite a lot of people.
Yeah.
For a little town like that.
Yeah. But you ever see the old movies in Portland? You ever see any of those old
Well, yeah, we used to go to Portland, some of the kids around here, and go together and take in those Nickelodeons.
Oh.
You heard of them too?
Yeah.
Yeah. And different. And we'd go. We'd always go to the Pantages when they changed shows. We never passed one of them up. The Pantages, that was a theater in Portland.
Yeah.
They had good shows there.
Was there only about one theater or something like that? Or?
Oh, no. There was the Orpheum and the Pantages and the Baker. And there was another one. I can't think of it right now, the name of it. No, there was quite a lot of them.
You'd always take the steam train?
Huh?
The steam locomotive?
Oh, yeah. That's where we go.
That's how you go?
Yeah.
There was no way to go from here by horse and buggy. That would be unthinkable.
You could go, but it took so long.
How long would it take? You'd have to start out about 9 o'clock to get there. When would you get there then?
You mean 9 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah.
Well, let's see. Charlie used to start out here with a wagon. Two horses in a wagon. He had a load of produce on there. And he started out here about 9 o'clock in the evening. And get there in the morning about 5. Go all night.
You start at 9 o'clock in the evening and get there at 5 next morning.
Uh-huh. You get that time when the early market was open again.
So that really started at 9 o'clock, 5 in the morning.
Take about 7
minutes. Now you can get in there in 15 minutes, you know?
Yeah, 15, 20 minutes, you can go there.
You remember the old, they used to sell a lot of wood here, didn't they? Take it down to the...
Up here at Sherwood.
Yeah, they haul it into Portland on the railroad.
Yeah, the freight train was loaded with wood every day.
It was the main way to heat Portland, isn't it?
Yeah,
well,
they burnt wood in Portland all together in them days, you know. And you take it to Portland and to the wood yards. And the wood yards, it saw some of it up and delivered if they wanted, but most of them, they delivered it right to their houses, in front of their house on the street.
Mm-hmm.
Then they come along with the wood saw and saw it up, you know. Mm-hmm. And the wood saw, they pulled it with horses.
I think we were talking about cutting down some of these big trees. There was sort of a trick to that, about how to keep that saw going straight, if that's what you wanted to do. You get one guy on the other side, and you on this side.
Oh, yeah, you could keep them straight. There's no trick to that.
No trick to that?
No, I didn't think. Sometimes when we get some of them big trees and they had so darn much pitch in there, then we'd have to put a can of water up and let the water drip in there, you know, to keep it wet, moisture. That'd help some. And then we'd put two guys on each handle. Two on one side and two on the other.
Yeah.
Pulled so hard in that pitch and it was sticky.
Yeah.
But then when we could get the wedges in there, we'd wedge it with a sledge,
yeah,
and raise it a little bit, and then we'd have a little leeway in there. That helped. Yeah.
Boy, those old trees, it's just almost hard to imagine that this country is just covered with them.
Yeah.
I know, when I was around Vernonia, I suppose you'd find about the same type of people up there that you would have found down here. Up there, you know, everybody's just built like trees, you know, just everybody's involved in logging.
That's true.
Like place up in Vernonia up here.
Oh, Vernonia,
place
yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
I imagine that's sort of like what Sherwood was like in those days.
Yeah. Yeah, Vernonia, though, hasn't got too darn much timber left either.
No, oh no. But it's, they're cultivating it.
I got 80 acres of timber between St. Helens and Vernonia.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Well, you have a lot of property around here. Yeah, that was a smart thing to do, though.
Yeah. Well, I sold some of my beaver dam here last April to Bischoff. You heard of Bischoff?
Yeah.
I'm sorry I sold it away, but I couldn't handle it no more.
Yeah.
Resign. I got 30 acres here I can resign. So I want. It's hard.
Yeah. What kind of onions are they? That's one thing I never
had. Yellow Denvers.
Yellow Denvers. They're all the same? All that same?
Yeah, everybody raises about the same. Some of them, a few of them raise a few of these here hybrid. Mm-hmm. You call them hybrid onions, you know. And they're pretty much the same looking onions. They're all stronger in the Deacon.
Yeah. You mean stronger, you mean tasting? Or?
You know, they make your eyes burn, and they burn your mouth too when you eat them.
No, they're that strong.
I don't know, I don't like onions.
You don't sell anything locally, do you? Or do you?
Oh, yeah.
You know, my folks bought some from you.
Huh?
I think my folks bought some from
you. Well, they bought them from my grandkids.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they were selling some on the road. My boy hit their dad, give them to them, and they got a few dollars, then they didn't do no more. And they had a bunch here to sell yet, but they didn't go up and do it. So yesterday I sold them all. The old guy come along and I don't know, 30-some sacks of sold the whole thing to him.
You ever wonder what kind of recipes these things end up in over there in Japan? You ever find out what happens over there?
They use an awful lot of onions in Japan. The Japanese cook an awful lot with onions. Yeah. I heard that. I don't know much about it. Yeah. I never was in Japan.
Kind of interesting to taste one of those dishes, see what they do with it.
Yeah. Linda says when she goes to work, she rides with David most of the time to guess, and from here, early in the morning, there's a herd of them up here between Newburgh and Gaston on that road going through there, out the wheat field there every morning at about 10 or 11.
What about wildlife when you were a kid? Do you remember, do you think there's the
When I was a kid, I never seen a deer around here. And here, they used to come here on our lawn.
Yeah. You get deer on your lawn?
Yeah, you ask my wife. David wanted to kill one during the season, and she wouldn't let him shoot him.
Yeah.
She didn't want him killed. But since then, there have been lots of killed deer.
Yeah. Well, there's deer right even down here.
Yeah.
There's a lot of coyote here now. Do you ever get them over here?
No, I never have seen one, but say they're here.
Yeah, they're up there. Old Shepherd has trouble with them, you know.
Yeah, old True Shepherd.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Next to...
Walkman?
Yeah. Uh-huh. And Harold Ruprecht, they have them down here. They start up howling every time the fire engines go by, you know.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know what it is. Maybe there's just less forest or something.
There's some fox around here.
Fox? I've seen some of those red fox.
Mm-hmm. And there's these here doggone old, what do you call them? Possums. You know what they are?
Yeah.
That's too bad they ever come here.
Oh, that's terrible. They're the creek bottoms. They're just infested with
them. They brought them in during World War II up here at Camp Adair. That's up near Corvallis, you know, Camp Adair.
Yeah.
And then people from the middle states or down south brought them up here and turned them loose. That's what I've been told, anyway.
Yeah, I know they were brought in.
Yeah, they're all over the country here now.
They had the nutrient down here for a while, too.
Yeah, we got a lot of them down here on the
ground here.
And they raise some carrots down here on the Beaver Dam, and they eat them carrots and stuff like that.
Yeah, that was another thing they came by.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be in South America.
Yeah.
But you don't remember too much wildlife at all, probably.
No. No, I...
Because I know a lot of people, they said, I know my dad says, there wasn't any.
Not around here. Not
he remembers the timber wolf. I guess his mother was playing with the timber wolf, thought it was a dog. Something like that, somebody in the family.
Well, there used to be lots of Chinese pheasants here when I was a boy.
Yeah, now that's another thing that was brought in.
They're just about gone now.
I see a few of them down in Newbury.
Yeah, well, there was six roosters used to come here every day here at our place, and now there's only one comes here.
I think Mom almost ran over it the other day.
Yeah.
She said there was one just standing right out there in the middle of the road, uh-huh. An old Chinese rooster.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but there's not very many, and the grouse disappeared too. You know what they are.
Yeah, and then that's another thing. There's wildlife that isn't here anymore, like the hoot owl. Remember that call?
The hoot owl?
The hoot.
Oh, yeah, there's some of them here yet.
You still hear them?
Oh, yeah.
What about nighthawks? Did you see them around?
No, not very often. Once in a while there's one, but not very much. But these hoot owls, there's a lot of them around.
There are.
In these woods, you know, they stay in the woods. Yeah. But there used to be these grouse that used to hoot. They hooted, you know, in mating. Mm-hmm. Not long, and this time of the year, about the last of February, they hoot. You could hear them in the tall trees. They were good eating birds.
Yeah.
They were better than the Chinese pheasant. But they're all gone. Yeah. Then there was the native pheasant, the quail. But we have quite a lot of quail here in the summertime, but in the wintertime they disappear. And then in the springtime they come back. All this ground around here too. Yeah.
That was quite a time. There was all these trees, and be worth so much money now, they were just in your way, weren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember in the olden days they used to, the farmers, in the wintertime, you know what they did? They made fence rails.
Uh-huh.
You know what them kind of
rail fence?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Everything was rail fences. There was no barbed wire or any other kind of fence, only rail fences. But in the beaver dam, they didn't have them because the high water would come up and take them away, you know. Mm-hmm. They had to use, they drive them down with the maul, the post, then they wouldn't pull out of the water couldn't pull them out so easy. Mm-hmm. And then they had the 4-inch boards there. All that land was fenced there at one time. Everybody's place. There, you'd be surprised, there's about 20 owners down here on this here swamp.
Is that right?
Some of them got 4 or 5 acres, some's got 3 or 4, some's got 8 or 10.
Yeah.
And what I was going to tell you, I forgot now what
about
I was...
About the rail fences? I was going to ask about wood piles. When
no.
Here, my cookies are kind of cold now.
Oh,
help
boy.
Yourself.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
You can eat them all. I'm going outside
well,
now.
They smell good, too.
And Dave won't eat any, so no use offering
him. Who was that at the door a while ago?
That was Davey and Jimmy.
What did they want?
He wanted to show you, he wanted to get a file, and he fixed that shell with the knife blade in it.
Uh-huh.
And I told
grandson?
Him... Yeah, young Davey.
Yeah.
I told him that you had company, you should come tomorrow. So he's coming back tomorrow to show it to you, and he wants you to file something.
Uh-huh. They were so anxious to get rid of these trees, they bore a hole in them when the tree was standing, you know. Bore a hole straight into the tree, like this is a tree. They bore a hole like that, straight level across. Then they bore another one up about a foot from that hole and bore it down like this to meet this hole. You understand what I mean?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Then they take and get oak wood or ash wood, something that was hard wood, and burn it so it'd make coals, you know. You know what the coals
uh-huh.
are. And then they put them coals down in that hole. Then they had a bellus. And they blow, you know what?
Oh,
about
I
it?
Never heard of that.
Yeah.
They burn it out.
They use that bellus like that, keep on, you know, and make air go in there, and them coals would pretty soon start a little blaze, and that their trees start burning. Then when it got a good start, then they quit doing that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just do it for maybe 15, 20 minutes, maybe half an hour. Just depends. Sometimes. Did have a hit pitch in there, you know,
yeah.
in the tree, then it'd start right off. And then that there would burn sometime for a month. Pretty soon the tree'd fall. That way they didn't have to sort it.
I never heard of that.
Oh, yeah, they used to do that. And then the tree'd fall to the ground, and if they could make wood out of it, they would. Some of them wouldn't, but not very many of them did. And then they'd go probably 15, 20 feet further, make some more holes like that and burn it all up, that there tree. Burn it up. Now if they had them today, look what they'd be worth.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
$1,000 a piece.
Yeah. You know, I burnt a lot of stumps that way myself. Stumps, we do that same thing like that. Bore straight into them like that and then down slant like that to meet the hole, see? So then you'd have a vent, see? Then put the coals down in this here hole and blow it for a while. Sometimes we'd just use our hat like that to fan it for a little while and it'd start.
I'm not sure I got it straight yet. You probably said this to me now. I know I've asked you about twice now, but you came out here from Portland with your parents, and you lived for a time over on the other place.
Yeah, the place back there.
And then when you moved here, you moved here with your parents then?
No, my parents never did leave here.
The other place.
Oh yeah, I lived with them up there. Yeah,
they never left there.
Huh?
They never left there.
Both of them died up there.
Yeah, we built all these buildings since we've been married. Everything
on this place.
Yeah.
That's right.
We cleared all this ground around here too. Yeah.